of Rahmatullahi had all this in mind. In spite of the people's mocking and jeering, Allah has inspired me. The work of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam needs to be reinvigorated, rejuvenated. And he started his effort on the people of Mewat. Many similarities with the effort of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Arab nation were in a quagmire of jahiliyat, ignorance. They needed direction in life. Difficult people to work with. Facing such hurdles and challenges, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured them spiritually and made them the most civilized people of the entire world. The people of Mewat were similar. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah started his effort on the people of Mewat. These people were also immersed in ignorance, bearing Muslim names, but carrying out Hindu customs. No semblance of Islam found in them. He started his effort. And like the effort of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Arab nation, Allah Ta'ala granted Hazrat Mawlana also success. Like Islam is spread through every nook and cranny of the world, there is no one in the entire world who does not know about Islam. Similar this work of da'wat and tabligh, which had died down, needed re-injection. Allah Ta'ala used Ma'a Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Even this work is spread to the four corners of the world. And today we see jamaats coming from all over the world. Hazrat Ma'a Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi merely mentioned places like Europe, America, Arabia. But today jamaats are coming and settling in Nizamuddin for the effort of deen from such corners of the world, from such countries and towns that people have never heard the names of these places. And this work is taking place. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say with great fikr and concern that the greatest jihad of this time and age is that those people who do not have talab of deen, do not have zeal and eagerness for practicing upon deen, to create that talab within the people. This is the biggest jihad of this age. That how to bring deen alive in people, this effort, this jihad, is the greatest jihad of this time and age. Allah Ta'ala made this fikr in Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi to become a virtual obsession at all times 24/7. He was concerned with the plight of the Ummah. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi from Raipur, where the famous Khanqa was in those days, prior to him was Baray Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi, and then his Khalifa Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. Once he paid a visit to Nizamuddin to visit Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Dasturkhan was laid, food was served. Some person wrote about that meeting, his observations. He was bad to Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. He had another cousin who was bad to Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. Both were also seated on the Dasturkhan. And this man writes that when Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi sat down to partake of the food, his habit was that as he picked up one morsel of food, before he could put it onto his tongue, for 2 or 3 minutes he spoke about the effort of da'wat and tabligh, and then only he would put that morsel of food in his mouth. And then again he would take another morsel and speak about this work and effort for another 2 or 3 minutes before putting the food into his mouth. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi, he was after all a man of the Khanqa. He had arrived there, he was busy eating his food. So this young man who was bayt to Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, his cousin was bayt to Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. In a joking manner, he said to his cousin that, "Look at my sheikh and peer. before he puts a morsel of food in his mouth. He is speaking about the effort on of da'wat and tabligh. And your sheikh and peer, he is more concerned about his food, merely eating the food all the time with his head lowered. So this cousin of his kept silent. When Abdul Qadir Sahib Rai Puri Rahmatullahi took leave from Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, look at the way Maulana Ilyas Sahib praised Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Rai Puri Rahmatullahi. He said to the people seated there, that this man that came today on our Dasturkhan is no ordinary personality. I've been to Raipur, and I've sat in the majalis of dhikr there. Allah Ta'ala inspired me. I heard the dhikr of Allah, the name of Allah, coming out from the walls and the bricks of the buildings of Raipur. Such was the capacity caliber of Hazrat Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. So now the cousin that was bad to Abdul Qadir Sahib, he nudges the other cousin with his elbow, then look at this, your sheikh, praising Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. So nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala created this further in Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. And perhaps there is no corner of the world left today where people are not acquainted with the work of da'wat and tabligh. And the fitnas that Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi spoke about on that night, when he got up in the middle of the night, worried about the plight of the world, fitnas engulfing, encompassing the entire world, in particular the ummah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about these fitnas. In a hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Yushiku an taqa'ul fitan ka qita'il laylil muslim. Yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira." Aw kama qala bi salatu salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a time will come when fitnas will cover this entire world like the dark portions of the night that set in. As the night advances, it becomes darker and darker, indicating that more and more dangerous fitnas, one after the other, will come into this world. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborates that such fitnas will come that a man will wake up in the morning in a state of iman and he will go to sleep as a kafir. Some people will retire in bed as mu'mineen. They will go into their homes, go into their rooms as mu'mineen and get up in the morning as kafir. Nabi Sallam is warned about these fitnas. And we are seeing these turbulent times unfolding in front of our very eyes. And nothing far-fetched. This is something we see daily. People engaging in such rotten amal that puts their iman in danger. Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the ahadith, he has warned that there are certain types of people whom Allah Ta'ala will not look with a gaze of affection, but look at them with anger. Allah will not cleanse them from their sins. Among those people, a man who will sell his merchandise, taking false oaths in order to promote his goods. He will lie to the customers. He will deceive the customers. He will say to the customers, for example, that buy my fruit. You will not find sweeter fruit in the entire marketplace. That gullible man purchases the fruit because this man has taken an oath that by Allah, he will not find sweeter fruit. He takes the fruit home, cuts it up, eats the fruit. He finds it to be sour and bitter, and he begins to scratch his head. That what dictionary does that fruit vendor perhaps use? In his dictionary perhaps, sweet equates to sour and bitter. This fruit is most sour and bitter. Imagine taking the name of Allah, taking the qasam of Allah, and lying, deceiving the customers. Isn't that man putting his iman online? So Nabi Sallam referring to these type of people, they will wake up as mu'min and go to bed as kafirs. When a person regards lying, deceiving, a haram act as halal and permissible, he does not regard that as a sin, then he is left with no iman whatsoever. People in the flea markets selling fake goods and presenting them to the customers as a genuine items, that this is a branded item and charging premium prices, will they not have to answer for this on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi Akram Sam goes out into the marketplace. He passes by a store. The businessman has piled up his wheat grain in front of his store. Outwardly looking, first grade, excellent quality of wheat grain. Nabi Akram Sam impulsively puts his hand into the middle of that stack, in the middle of that heap. And his hand comes out moist, that the inner part of the grain is defective. And the businessman is trying to conceal this from the customers. Nabi Karim Sa'asim confronts him, that tell me, what is this? The middle of your grain, the wheat is defective. The top of the pile is excellent. He then says to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, O Rasul of Allah, we had rain overnight. I forgot to put this wheat under shelter. Rain came down and made some of the grain moist. So I hid that in the middle of the pile so that customers are not aware. Nabi Karim Sam immediately retorted by saying, Man hashana falaysa minna. That those who deceive our people in this way, they are not of our Jamaat. We are not from the Jamaatul Muslimin. So in this way, lying, deceiving, taking oaths to promote our goods, putting forward the name of Allah, can such a person's iman remain intact? That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a time will come, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. He will wake up as a mu'min and go to bed in the evening as a kafir. But the other portion of the hadith raises a question. يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. There is no business, no shop to run at home. How will this be possible, that a person goes into his house in the evening as a mu'min, he gets up as a kafir? In today's age of technology, it is nothing far-fetched. In our pockets, we have the so-called smartphones. In the privacy of the homes, people watching on the computers, on their smartphones, on their tablets, trawling internet sites, watching pornography, taking pleasure out of that, immune to it, considering something haram as halal, that is kufr. So today, behind closed doors, people going to sleep as mu'min, waking up as kafirs. If a person watches this filth and he recognizes, acknowledges that it is haram, that due to my weakness, I am prone to watching this haram, at least his iman will be intact. But if he considers something haram as halal, he loses his iman. And that is the condition of many people, that they consider these things to be halal. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophecy is true to the letter T, that people will go to sleep as mu'min and get up as kafirs. So there is a need to protect this iman. Someone asks Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that why do earthquakes take place? She replied, when people will indulge in intoxicants, consume liquor, play music as entertainment, they will not consider guna as guna. They will become immune to sins. It will become the norm of society. they will consider the commission of sins to be permissible. Then Allah Ta'ala commands the ground to shake. Earthquakes take place. And in a few seconds, thousands of lives are snuffed out. We are bringing these calamities upon ourselves by virtue, by means of our rotten amal. There is a hadith in Mustadrak-e Hakim. For those who want to see the hadith, volume 4, page 541. When I came across this hadith, I was left speechless, astounded, blown away by the gravity, the intensity of this hadith. In the hadith, Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that the time will come, a gathering of men folk will be seated, making merry, enjoying themselves, only men folk. But then suddenly a woman will appear, a woman with loose morals. She will beckon to one of the men seated there. One of those filthy men will stand up, and in full view of the entire gathering, this man and woman will embrace each other, and they will commit zina in full view of all the people seated there. One person that will have a spark of haya, shame and modesty, he will speak up. The rest of the people will be dumbstruck. They are immune. They are used to seeing such scenes. Zina committed in full view of the public. But one person with a spark of iman, spark of haya, modesty, he will tell this couple that if you wanted to carry out this filthy act, at least you could have went behind the wall and did the despicable act of yours. So indirectly he is also condoning that act. He is still, so to say, allowing it, but behind the wall. But because the time of fitna will be such, that at least this spark of haya and modesty will be such. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in that hadith, that this man will be given such a high rank among the people of his time, like the rank given to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala among the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. That as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was the most superior of all the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, this man in the sight of Allah will be considered the most superior of the people of his time. That because he will have that little spark of haya and modesty, he will have that gumption to speak up, that if you wanted to commit this act, you could have gone behind the wall to do it. Such a great rank. Why? Because in that time of fitna, to speak up even this little will become very difficult. We are living in a time when the entire family will be huddled close to the TV set. And it happens, watching filth, mother and daughter, father and son, entire family, watching those soap dramas, soap operas, nudity, promiscuity taking place, watching it all together. And this hadith can perhaps apply to that young man of the same household, that he finds aversion for this. He goes into another room. If another room is not available, he huddles in a corner of the room and makes dua for the hidayat of his household members, that perhaps he gave 4 months in the path of Allah. He has a dini conscience. He is staying away from the TV set. Perhaps he will be also blessed with that rank, that he will be the most superior of the people of his time, because he has that guilty conscience. He has a dini conscience. He is making dua for the hidayat of the people. Yesterday in Jummah I mentioned that we are living such turbulent times, that just to remain steadfast on deen, consistency on deeni practices, will become very difficult. In the hadith, Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu has given glad tidings to people of the latter ages, that the amount of deen that the Sahaba used to practice upon, people of latter times, if they practice even on 1/10 of their deen, inshallah they will also gain salvation. Because the times are such, it has become difficult to practice upon deen. As I mentioned in the Jummah talk yesterday, a man went to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. He spent 10 years in his service, and then he wanted to take leave, and he left with a complaint that, Hazrat, I spent 10 years in your service, expecting to see you walking on the surface of water, expecting you to fly on your carpet through the air, expecting to see supernatural feats. I saw none of this. What type of a buzrug are you? People consider you to be a wali. So very politely, softly, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah said to this man, they tell me you stayed 10 years in my company. Did you see me carrying out a single act contrary to Sharia? So he had to acknowledge that I saw no action contrary to Sharia. So the Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah tells him, what greater miracle are you looking for? Istiqamat, meaning imtithalul awamir wal ijtinab anin nawahi, to carry out the injunctions of Sharia, refrain from the prohibitions with consistency, that is istiqamat. A man came to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for advice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave very terse and brief advice that قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. They say, I have brought iman upon Allah, I have entered the fold of Islam, and thereafter observe istiqamat, steadfastness. This is very important for the preservation of our iman. That is why the Sufiya Kiram used to say, al-istiqamatu khayrun min al-fikramatin. That istiqamat is better than 1,000 miracles, better than 1,000 supernatural feats. So as long as we'll remain in the effort of deen, making an effort on our kalima, bringing deen alive in the community, inshallah we'll enjoy that istiqamat fi deen, steadfastness in deen. When the ayat of the Quran was revealed, wastaqim kama umirta, observe istiqamat as you have been commanded to do, some sahaba came with a concern to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is a very hard command to carry out. How can we remain consistent at all times? So Nabi Kareem some consoled them, and he said to them, istaqimu wa lan tuhsu. That even though you cannot encapsulate istiqamat in its entirety, but you make an effort to the best of your ability, Allah will reward you on that. You will see the fruit of that. You will see the results of that. فَإِنَّهُ مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. Something that cannot be attained in its entirety, it does not mean that we throw in the towel and forget about it. We ought to keep making the effort, have that concern at all times. And the best way to preserve our iman, yesterday we were reading Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Saab Gangoi rahmatullahi in his mawa'iz, quoting the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Time and again Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, imbue yourselves with the quality of taqwa. Then you will protect your iman, preserve your iman, you will see that istiqamat. But the question arises, Where do we shop around for this taqwa? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. Stay in the company of the pious. Yes, do your effort of da'wat and tabligh, but do not shun the awliya of Allah, the pious servants. Whichever town you travel to, in your journeys of da'wat and tabligh, you hear of a buzrug in that town, pay a visit to him, take his du'as, sit a little while in his company. The Quran says, the way to protect your iman is inculcate this quality of taqwa, and taqwa can be found sitting in the company of the pious. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, it is still so vivid before my eyes, as if when Hazrat spent etikaf in the Jami Masjid in Indonesia, we also had the good fortune to spend time with him. And like this, the weekly gush used to take place. Baji Patel Sahib, Rahmatullahi Allah Falis Qabr of Noor, he made the announcement. And he gave a beautiful example in the announcement, that this world is like a playground, like a person playing a soccer match. There is a limited time, 90 minutes of the game, kicking the ball from this side to that side. When the referee blows the final whistle, the game comes to an end. So similarly, Baji Patel said, we are for a limited period of time in this world. We have come with a limited age span. When the whistle will be blown, when the death knell will be sounded, Malakul Maut will appear, then this play will end. We have to face our Creator. We have to prepare for that day. Hazrat Mufti Sahib gave the bayan. And Hazrat mentioned in that bayan, that as a Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, the importance of doing this work of da'wat and tabligh, what the usul, what the principle set down by Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah. And Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah himself used to say, ki yaad rakhna, agar usul ki pabandi nahi ki, to ye kaam awarda gardi rehkar reh jayega. That if you don't follow the principles of this work, you will be wandering around aimlessly from town to town, achieving nothing whatsoever. In other words, the principles have to be observed. And among the principles, among the 6 points, what is the third point? Ilm and dhikr. Unfortunately, we are doing the work of da'wat and tabligh. How many of us set aside time to make dhikr of Allah? Yet it is one of the important 6 points. How many of us go in the company of the ulama to learn our deen from them? Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned in that bayan that these are different ways of protecting the deen of Allah, conveying the deen of Allah, the madrasa, the khanka, the tabligh and da'wat work. There must be cooperation. All these works should be done hand in hand, together. Hazrat Mufti Sahib emphasized and repeated the malfuz of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that if the principles, usul of this work is not followed, you will wander aimlessly from town to town. You will achieve nothing whatsoever. So the way to preserve the iman, we cannot confine it to one work only. To have this mentality that this is the only work, that is a wrong approach. Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, madaris, khankas, tablighi marakiz, we are all doing the work of deen, all promoting the deen of Allah. Cooperate with one another, acknowledge the services of one another. Today's attitude, a khanka person will say, he is a tablighi, he hasn't got a topi like I wear, why should I make salam to him? A tablighi will say, this is a khanka guy, why should we make salam to him? He is a Muslim. Afshus salam, spread the salam, you know he is a Muslim. No matter what effort he is involved in, He's promoting the deen of Islam. Acknowledge that. Important. Today we do the work of da'wah and tabligh. We promote the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How many of us are observing this noble sunnah of i'tikaf for the last 10 days of Ramadan? That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did year in, year out. Never neglected. Except when he went to conquer Makkah in Ramadan. Obviously he could not sit in i'tikaf. And on another occasion, such a great sunnah. Go to Nizamuddin. We studied in India in the days of Maulana Abul Hasan Sahib, Hazraji Rahmatullah Alayh. They also observe i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Devla, Damat Barakatum, may Allah Ta'ala keep his shadow over us. It is practice every year. Throughout the year he is in Nizamuddin. In Ramadan he takes leave, goes to his village of Devla in the Jambusar district, and he spends the entire month in i'tikaf, realizing the value of this amal and the sunnah. Maulana Ahmed Lat Sahib Dan Barakatum possesses a home in Surat nowadays, although he's from Kavi. He also frees himself. In Ramadan you will find him in Surat, sitting in i'tikaf. Mufti Bula Sahib sent salams the other day to me. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala grant him long life. He is sitting in i'tikaf at the Markaz in Johannesburg. So where is this sunnat being avoided? Sunnat of i'tikaf. Such a noble sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there needs to be cooperation. We are all Muslims. The Khanka guy is not a different person following a different creed or religion. The Tamlighi guy is not following a different creed. The person starting in madrasas are not following a different religion. We need to feed one another. Madrasa will feed the Tamlighi Jamaat, da'is, our graduates out in the path of Allah. Our graduates here in this masjid today, they were more qualified to give this talk than me. But Amir Sahib doesn't listen. He insists that I must give the talk. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala puts it in my heart. Perhaps it is a bitter pill. If someone is feeling upset, I seek your forgiveness. But I'm merely quoting our elders, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, quoting Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that if you don't adhere to the usul of tabligh, you will achieve nothing whatsoever. You'll be wandering around aimlessly. So there needs to be cooperation. Then the nusrat and the help of Allah will come. Allah give us a tawfiq of taking these things into cognizance. Allah give us a fikr for all these departments of deen. We should visit the khanka, go out in the path of Allah for tabligh and da'wat, attend the madrasas, increase our knowledge. Then inshallah, we will acquire the istiqamah, steadfastness in deen. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. So for this effort of da'wat and tabligh, which is spread to every nook and cranny of the world, no one is left unacquainted. Who is prepared to give some time in the path of Allah? With willingness, happiness, stand up and present your name to God in the path of Allah. For whatever time Allah Ta'ala allows, may Allah accept from you, inshallah.
Shaban is seeing the beauty of Ramadan, mashallah. He's here in i'tikaf, now giving his name to God in the path of Allah, also, mashallah.
Mashallah, and like this, how Mufti Sahib was explaining, that this is a daily effort that we all need to make, inshallah. So regarding this, the five amal of the masjid are taking place in this masjid and in most masjids around the entire country, inshallah. To have these amal happening and taking place in our masjid is a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should all see how we can try to make intention to see how we can all be part of these amal of our masjid, inshallah. Inshallah, and link to this also, our mashwara is taking place tomorrow morning in this masjid, inshallah. Should all make intention to see how we can be part of the sitting mashwara, inshallah. Inshallah. And with this also, every week, every Friday night in our Shab Guzari, in our Markaz, our Shab Guzari is taking place, inshallah. Inshallah, we should all see how we can make intention to be part and to draw from the Shab Guzari.
So inshallah, at least we'll make intention, even the local work, in Gersh, out Gersh, whatever we can take part in, sit in the Taleem also, make the fikr of Deen. Many brothers are shy perhaps to stand up or to put their hands up that you go in the path of Allah. But in the bottom of our hearts, we all want to take part in this work of Dawat and Tabligh, being the work of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Who wouldn't want to take part in this work? So inshallah, I will prove that all of you want to go out in the path of Allah. Those who don't want to go out in the path of Allah, stand up. See, no one standing up. So alhamdulillah, all of you are prepared, inshallah. We all going out in the path of Allah, inshallah. Allah accept from all of us, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.